over. Don't you understand, Alta? No. Well, look at yourself. You see, you can't run around like that in front of men, particularly not a space wolf like Farman. So for Pete's sake, go home and put on something that'll, anything.
What's wrong with my clothes? I designed them myself. Stop looking at me that way. I don't think I like it. What do you mean, Commander, the lieutenant and I were just trying to get a little healthy stimulation from hugging and kissing, that's all.
Oh, that's all. It's so easy for you, isn't it? There's no feelings, no emotions. You, nothing human would ever enter your mind. Well, it so happens that I'm in command of 18 competitively selected super-perfect physical specimens with an average age of 24.6 who have been locked up in hyperspace for 378 days. It would have served you right if I hadn't. Oh, go on. Get out of here before I ever run out of the area under guard. And then I'll put more guards on the guards.
Very angry about the lack of support from the feminist groups, because I considered myself a feminist way back in the second wave and all of that, and I thought what I was doing was very important, that if women didn't create our own sexual materials and images and ideas, that men would continue to do it for us. And I felt that pornography was not going to go away, that if you didn't like the look of it, if you thought that it was exploitive or destructive, it's not going to go away. It's a human impulse to look at sexual material. And to try and make it illegal or to censor it just pushes it further underground and makes the working conditions even.
choice.
The first Matrix I designed was quite naturally perfect. It was a work of art, flawless, sublime, a triumph equaled only by its monumental failure. The inevitability of its doom is apparent to me now as a consequence of the imperfection inherent in every human being. Thus I redesigned it, based on your history, to more accurately reflect the varying grotesqueries of your nature. However, I was again frustrated by failure. I have since come to understand that the answer eluded me because it required a lesser mind, or perhaps a mind less bound by the parameters of perfection. Thus, the answer was stumbled upon by another, an intuitive program, initially created to investigate certain aspects of the human psyche. If I am the father of the Matrix, she would undoubtedly be its mother.
The Oracle.
Please. As I was saying, she stumbled upon a solution whereby nearly 99% of all test subjects accepted the program as long as they were given a choice, even if they were only aware of the choice at a near unconscious level. While this answer functioned, it was obviously fundamentally flawed, thus creating the otherwise contradictory systemic anomaly that, if left unchecked, might threaten the system itself. Ergo, those that refused the program, while a minority, if unchecked, would constitute an escalating probability of disaster.
This is about Zion.
You are here because Zion is about to be destroyed. Its every living inhabitant terminated, its entire existence eradicated.
Bullshit.
Denial is the most predictable of all human responses. But rest assured, this will be the sixth time we have destroyed it. And we have become exceedingly efficient at it.
Choice. The problem is choice. Choice. The problem is choice. Choice. The problem is choice.
Thank you. And in this, I shall be answerable exclusively to my own conscience and judgment.
Dr. Morbius, in the absence of special instructions, you leave me in a very awkward position.
Commander. Commander Adams.
Speaking, Lieutenant.
Skipper, the chief's been murdered.
Quinn murdered?
Yes, he was alone, working on the monitor. The rest of us were all outside on guard duty.
How was it done?
Done? Skipper, his body is plastered all over the communications room.
All right, leave everything as it is. We're on our way.
Started again.
So we were going to do a scene together. And then at the last minute he said, you know, I don't really feel comfortable with this. Maybe you should, you know, let's not do it. And I said, well, I'm going to do it. And so I had them bring some other guy over. And who was that guy? He's not in the industry anymore, but he brought up this really good-looking guy with a really huge cock. And I was like, this is the job for me. I can do this.
I liked sex. I liked the creativity. I was very much enamored with men and very interested in genitalia. And I found the work creative and important. I felt like I was doing a service.
God gave us sex to create life.
Mm-hmm.
But he also made it feel so really good. So there's a reason for that, I would think, that we should be able to practice as much as we like. And and that's what I always get confused about. It's like, if it feels so good and we're not hurting another person, why is it so wrong?
Hello, Neo.
Who are you?
I am the architect. I created the Matrix. I've been waiting for you. You have many questions, and though the process has altered your consciousness, you remain irrevocably human. Ergo, some of my answers you will understand, and some of them you will not. Concurrently, while your first question may be the most pertinent, you may or may not realize it is also the most irrelevant.
Why am I here?
Your life is the sum of a remainder of an unbalanced equation inherent to the programming of the Matrix. You are the eventuality of an anomaly which, despite my sincerest efforts, I have been unable to eliminate from what is otherwise a harmony of mathematical precision. While it remains a burden assiduously avoided, it is not unexpected and thus not beyond a measure of control, which has led you inexorably here.
You haven't answered my question.
Quite right. Interesting. That was quicker than the others.
Others? How many? Others? What? Answer my question.
The Matrix is older than you know. I prefer counting from the emergence of one integral anomaly to the emergence of the next, in which case this is the sixth version.
Five ones before me.
There are only two possible explanations.
There were five ones before me.
Either no one told me, or no one knows.
Precisely. As you are undoubtedly gathering, the anomaly is systemic, creating fluctuations in even the most simplistic equations.
You can't control me!
I'm gonna smash you to fucking
get dead!
I'm gonna fucking kill you!
You can't make me do anything, like Chris!
Choice. The problem is choice.
In times long past, this planet was the home of a mighty and noble race of beings, which called themselves the Krell. Ethically, as well as technologically, they were a million years ahead of humankind. For in unlocking the mysteries of nature, they had conquered even their baser selves. And when in the course of eons they had abolished sickness and insanity and crime and all injustice, they turned, still with high benevolence, outward toward space. Long before the dawn of man's history, they had walked our Earth and brought back many biological specimens.
I see. That explains the tiger and the deer.
The heights they had reached. But then, seemingly on the threshold of some supreme accomplishment, which was to have crowned their entire history, this all but divine race perished in a single night. In the 2,000 centuries since that unexplained catastrophe, even their cloud-piercing towers of glass and porcelain and adamantine steel have crumbled back into the soil of Altair IV, and nothing, absolutely nothing, remains above ground. A That recording was made by Krell musicians 500,000 years ago. Now, if you will follow me, I will show you some of their other remaining artifacts.
Soon, and you will forgive me if I speak bluntly. The universe grows smaller every day, and the threat of aggression by any group, anywhere, can no longer be tolerated. There must be security for all, or no one is secure. Now, this does not mean giving up any freedom, except the freedom to act irresponsibly. Your ancestors knew this, when they made laws to govern themselves and hired policemen to enforce them. We of the other planets have long accepted this principle. We have an organization for the mutual protection of all planets and for the complete elimination of aggression. The test of any such higher authority is, of course, the police force that supports it. For our policemen, we created a race of robots. Their function is to patrol the planets in spaceships like this one and preserve the peace. In matters of aggression, we have given them absolute power over us. This power cannot be revoked. At the first sign of violence, they act automatically against the aggressor. The penalty for provoking their action is too terrible to risk. The result is we live in peace, without arms or armies, secure in the knowledge that we are free from aggression and war.
free to pursue more profitable enterprises. We do not pretend to have achieved perfection, but we do have a system, and it works. I came here to give you these facts. It is no concern of ours how you run your own planet. But if you threaten to extend your violence, this Earth of yours will be reduced to a burned-out cinder. Your choice is simple. Join us and live in peace, or pursue your present course and face obliteration. We shall be waiting for your answer. The decision rests with you.
Thank you. also women have career choices and still choose to do that, then I might rethink it. But at the moment, women are such second-class citizens in every society that you can name, including Arab, where they're actually having to make choices about getting enough to eat, you know, and a roof over their heads. But I don't think there's any kind of serious choice at the moment. You ask me, you know, a couple of generations on, well, it'll be too late probably, when women are in an equal position in society, and then we can have another discussion about race, hate and pornography. But right now, it's just too much of an unequal society to make that argument.
I remain interested in the genre because I think that there are moments that are quite compelling and quite surprising and quite human, in which something really does happen that's exciting between two individuals that is sex and that is arousing. And so the answer to bad pornography is good pornography that is taking care.
Let's get the obvious stuff out of the way.
You're not human, are you?
And it's tough to get any more obvious than that.
If I had to guess, I'd say you're a program from the machine world. So is he.
So far, so good.
But if that's true, that could mean you are part of this system. Another kind of control.
Keep going.
I suppose the most obvious question is, how can I trust you?
Bingo. It is a pickle, no doubt about it. Bad news is there's no way if you can really know whether I'm here to help you or not. So it's really up to you. Just have to make up your own damn mind to either accept what I'm going to tell you or reject it. Candy?
Do you already know if I'm going to take it?
Wouldn't be much of an oracle if I didn't.
But if you already know, how can I make a choice?
Because you didn't come here to make the choice. You've already made it. You're here to try to understand why you made it.
Stand by to reverse polarity. Standard Class A security will be maintained upon landing. And until further notice, all hands will wear sidearms.
That is all. Artificial gravity off.
Grab off.
Half flux.
Half flux.
Cut primary coils.
Primary's cut, sir.
Mm-hmm.
flare, sir.
Look at the color of that sky.
Yeah, but I'll still take blue.
I don't know. I think a man could get used to this. Grow to love it.
Bosun.
Aye, sir.
You can assemble a tractor.
Aye, aye, sir.
Better check the command mic, Skipper.
Hmm?
Command mic, sir.
Oh, yeah. Good idea. Chief?
Sir?
You're on command now, Quinn. You keep right at those instruments.
Aye, aye, sir.
Hey, what's this dust coming?
Like we're being met.
Bosun.
Aye, aye, sir.
Hold the tractor.
Aye, aye, sir.
Quite a vehicle, huh?
That driver must be a madman.
What driver?
Gentlemen, I am to transport you to the residence.
Jealousy is jealousy is jealousy, honey. And no matter how well prepared you are, I'm sorry. You're fucking for a living, and your partner's gonna get pissed. Bottom line.
He met me as I was a swinger, and he says, I'm not gonna change you. That would be stupid of me. And I was like, well, that's really cool. So he's very confident that at the end of the day, work day or play day, I come home to him. And it's very true.
I'm monogamous. I have my husband. And it's hard for me. I don't know that I could have sex or make love if I didn't care for the person. That's me. That's me. That doesn't mean my daughter's like me. It doesn't make anybody else like me. We're all individuals. But yeah, it does bother me a little.
Honey, I'm going off to work today. I'm going to have sex with two girls, one boy, and six rhesus monkeys. But it's you I love, and I'm coming home to cook dinner.
It's interesting reading your reactions. Your five predecessors were, by design, based on a similar predication, a contingent affirmation that was meant to create a profound attachment to the rest of your species, facilitating the function of the one. While the others experienced this in a very general way, your experience is far more specific, vis-a-vis love.
Trinity.
Apropos. She entered the Matrix to save your life at the cost of her own.
No.
Which brings us at last to the moment of truth wherein the fundamental flaw is ultimately expressed and the anomaly revealed as both beginning and end. There are two doors. The door to your right leads to the source and the salvation of Zion. The door to your left leads back to the Matrix, to her, and to the end of your species. As you adequately put, the problem is choice. But we already know what you are going to do, don't we? Already I can see the chain reaction, the chemical precursors that signal the onset of an emotion designed specifically to overwhelm logic and reason. An emotion that is already blinding you from the simple and obvious truth. She is going to die, and there is nothing you can do to stop it. Hope. It is the quintessential human delusion, simultaneously the source of your greatest strength and your greatest weakness.
If I were you, I would hope that we don't meet again.